Right, yeah. As if anybody's read this book, I'm contributed a piece at the end of it, who just sort of in the last chapter. Steve's saying about that the coach in Manchester. Well, it was funny because we were there on the same day, and it's sort of brief introduction how I got into the fascism, and then from the fascism into being an anti-fascist, and how I come to meet Dave in the 90s, and sort of what Dave's part in the book was, the second part of it was about the fight against the BNP in the Northwest. Well, the thing was, I was about 16 or so, NF came to the school leafleting and stuff. And where we lived, it's predominantly sort of white area, working class area of East Manchester. So being a bit of a lad and a bit of a scally at the time with your mates, you just went along to the activities. Well, an old one, old enough to know better, man. Nearly 50, right? So, yeah, we decided we'd go along to a few meetings, listen to the rubbish. She said, you know, they used to say stuff like the left were just... you know, gays and teachers and stuff, but, in you know, the more we got into it, the more we realised that wasn't the case, you know, when you were getting knocked down the stairs at a Grand Hotel in Manchester with, you know, the likes of Steve and his mates, you know, producing hammers and stuff, you know, like, and other people, but, you know, they give you an option, they'd, you know, we'll smash it, or you can come and sit and talk to us and we'll talk about politics, give you an option and stuff, you know, because most then, you know, like the working class white youths were pretty naive politics, but pissed off with things that was going on with the Labour Party and stuff and what have you. So just to get back on about the Steve and the coach episode, I was in the NF then, go to the meetings, and I was going to the march first. This is the idea, was I'll go to the march and get off and go and watch the football. I comes round the corner running late. I sees all these guys with the helmets and stuff, iron bars, smashing the shite out of the coach, and it was like, hang on, I'll go to the football match instead. So... I was in the NF sort of meetings, different stuff, met different people. Steve said, I played left wing for the NF team in Manchester, so nobody else wanted to do it. So for a few years, I sort of went marches, rallies, different stuff. And the deeper I got into it, the more I met people that were committed Nazis and stuff. And they openly said, once they got to know you, they were dual carrying members of other groups. There was a group at the time, a clandestine thing called Column 88. A guy called, it's in here, Brian Baldwin, he was the prison officers union spokesman at Strangeways, and he used to wear NF badges and put stickers on the doors of, you know, like Black Youth and stuff like that. I was also into the punk music and stuff at the time, and I couldn't really see any contradiction going watching The Clash and stuff, which were a favourite band, and they're singing about, you know, white riot people, white youth turning, getting on the streets and joining along Black Youth and stuff. I also went to see, I used to like Steel Pulse, reggae band from Birmingham. You know, I went to see them a few times, but... you know, that must have been some schizophrenia or something, whatever, you know. And then by the time the two-tone movement come around, I've been, looking at various papers, magazines, just getting more educated in politics, left-wing politics and stuff. So when the two-tone movement come around, I was well into sort of looking in, you know, thought it was... I knew it was left persuasion by then, and I was into the message that... the likes of the specials and what have you were singing about. So I joined a few parties and stuff like SWP and what have you. I was in them selling the papers and that, but it wasn't really for me. It was then a group called Red Action were around. It seemed more working class based, left-wing group. They were also anti-fashioned, sort of they'd stand and defend Republican marches and different things, you know, sort of they're coming from a right angle. So I joined a supporting member of Red Action and anti-fascist action, and that's where I came across Steve and Dave as well. I had a meeting with Dave's took to him because we like the same music and stuff. Angelic Upstarts, Menzier, the lead singer, was an ex-skinhead, and they were like a socialist anti-fascist band. So that's how we came sort of into the fight in the 90s against the BNP when they were organising in the Northwest. And Dave, he was a great coordinator. He knew how to get people together, organise things, and also when you were there, think on the, you know, being able to think on the, on his feet straight away. Strategy is what we did on the day, you know, and great at getting publicity together, leaflets and stuff for meetings. That's like I say, that's where Steve was involved. And not totally by then, he was a bit burnt out, but he was a useful source because he knew people in, you know, with the intelligence and stuff to get where, you know, get where the BNP was meeting, because by then they'd been they'd had a struggle for 10-15 years in Manchester, and Steve with his intelligence stuff, he always come up where right, the BNP are going to try and meet in this pub or whatever, so was always one step ahead that way. So we'd get in the pub and whatever and totally take it over. We did that across the Northwest, places like Rochdale, Oldham, Burnley, where they had a lot of support, and they had support amongst the Burnley football fans, their hooligans and stuff, who they tried to use to back them up and stuff. So, as I say, with by then, with the anti-fascist action, you know, with Dave's sort of leadership and coordinating skills, we was always there at their venues, meeting places, and we'd always take it over. And they couldn't meet, march or whatever. And not just that, we'd put out a leaflet the week before, and we'd go leaflet the worst estates in Rochdale. You know what people said, the worst estates, because it was full of white working class scallies sort of thing. But we'd go and take a leaflet there, and we'd try and offer a bit, you know, an alternative, explain why you don't join the BNP, not just the Nazis, fascists or whatever, but the answer is not the right answer. So for the years throughout the 90s, the fascists couldn't meet anywhere in Manchester. They never had no visible presence because we was always on the case, chasing them off the streets, whatever. And also at the time, me, Steve, Dave, we're Manchester United supporters, so we decided where we are and where's an audience. So we set up this anti-fascist United supporters fanzine called Red Attitude, which we had some really good success with that. We sold a good few hundred issues on a match day, and also it was people, United fans, knew, you know, seeing as that we weren't sort of the your typical left coming from outside doing a paper sale with a collection and then pissing off again just looking for members. No, we were United fans, and that's where we was organising. I remember one match, what was it, the Chelsea Headhunters, the hooligan group that was affiliated to C18 at the time, they said, what do you call it, right, we're going to smash it off the streets of Old Trafford. So I thought, right, okay, you know, we're up, you know, this is, we're up for this, so we're there, you know. So we got in touch with the United fans, sort of, what do you call the lot that used to be the United boys, the hooligans. I said, you come into this, the Chelsea lot of threatened us, the fascists. So we just got loads of sellers and loads of people there to support us, like, you know what I mean, that we're willing to stand and fight the C18 fascists on the day. Gets sells more papers than ever, loads of people coming up and saying, yeah, all right, yeah, I'm with you. The Chelsea lot don't show. On the, what was it, a few weeks later in the magazine newsletter thing, they said that they were holed up in two pubs in Manchester, and we didn't have the bottle to come and find them. We were stood outside Old Trafford, you know, we were there ready to fight them, you know. Also, just I nearly forgot there, like, about it weren't just people up anti-fascist action was you know, people just out wanting to fight the fascists. We also did it where other people that didn't, you know, that obviously weren't confident doing that, but also would do the man the phones on the day of marches in Manchester, say there was a Republican march or there was march in support of Viraj Mendes, who took refuge in the church in Hume and lived in there. He'd handcuffed himself to the radiators because the police were going to deport him. There was a big march through Manchester there in support of him, and the fascists threatened to attack that, so we got a sort of a group together to defend that march. We had lots of people on that day sat in various flats around Hume and Manchester manning the phone line that we'd set up so we could get word of mouth where the fascist was. You know, it was days before mobile, so it took about 10 minutes, you know what I mean? But at least we knew where he was, so we'd be able to see him off the streets and stuff. So, as I say, it weren't just like the physical force, everybody fighting the fascist. It was all the propaganda stuff that was backed up by it in the leaflets and what have you. People doing other organisations behind the scene. Also the music, and there was Cable Street Beat, anti-fascist action set up that, doing the gigs, ska and punk bands like the Blaggers and what have you, who were an anti-fascist band from West London. They did a gig in Manchester, and a young lad who was into hip-hop and weird stuff, we thought he was tricky from Bristol, he was on that, he'd done a gig on that. And Angelic Upstarts, as I say, Menzi was from Sunderland, anti-fascist oi band, punk street punk band. When they ever used to do gigs in Manchester, we used to support their stewards and organise security, and that stopped the fascists attacking Menzi, because the BNP and the the skinheads, what were the group called, Blood and Honour, the screwdriver that Ian Bones lot said they were going to smash him off the streets.
Ian Bones?
Not Ian Bones, Stuart Donaldson, sorry. This is my age now, I'm nearly 50, sorry. Probably a bit of Alzheimer's, no, I used to read Class War. Subscriber, so right. The Blood and Honour lot, Ian Stewart, the screwdriver, they said they were going to smash the upstarts off the streets wherever he was, wreck gigs and stuff. So as the anti-fascist action wound down, we used to support the upstarts defending the gigs and that, and still doing the anti-fascist message. Up until recently, we were still at gigs. And then when Menzi got attacked by the fascist at a gig somewhere and decided to retire. He's back on the scene now, yeah. But as Steve was trying to say, the fascists go through sort of changes and stuff, and evolve differently. And like, because our actions and our successes in the from the 80s and the 90s, they decided the tactic that was going to withdraw from the streets because they were getting beaten everywhere. They tried to march, they tried to organise. So that's why they went into that grow your hair and wear a nice suit sort of thing, because anti-fascist did this, you know, chased them off the streets. But unfortunately, you know, anti-fascist action was just a single issue campaign. There wasn't a left movement strong enough behind it, you know, to sort of jump in and, you know, jump into the vacuum and sort of offer an alternative, you know, to the working class that they were after, which is that sort of I know this is what Dave mentions in the end of the book about that, about building a, you know, a proper, credible left alternative to fight the fascists, and about doing the sort of thing where you go into scary estates and do a leaflet and, you know, bring ideas into the area so you can sort of, you know, educate people about why you shouldn't turn to fascism. Not, as I said before, not just because they're Nazis and stuff, but the, you know, the dangerous political road you go down. So I'll just stand there, really.
Yeah, it'd be good if you are like Stephen Todd's questions now, like.